Well, good morning, everyone. It's 11:24 a.m. on Sunday, May 13th, 2018. Pitter patter of raindrops. It's drizzling a bit here in South Florida, but it's nice outside. And we're going for a walk for some coffee. How's everyone doing? I'll try to keep it away from the cars and the loud sounds. Oh, the ripples of the air and the sound waves as you run over water. It's loud. Anyway, all right. So, oh God, like 800,000 things to discuss. All right, let's go positive. So I got pushed in the right direction this weekend. I got pushed in the right direction by old high school friends. It's always nice. And reminded me to pick up something that I haven't worked on in a long time that is always going to be important and something we should all take a dive into. So let's do the podcast about it because I also promised I would like lay off the politics a little bit. So let's try doing that too. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Human body, right? Machine. It's a extremely complex machine that has, oh God, probably millions, but thousands of little parts within inside of our cell, mixing around, doing things in some crazy concoction that somehow makes them work and the cells differentiate properly and do what they're supposed to do. And there's this balanced ecosystem within our bodies that propagates what we would consider to be health and responsive behavior from our body, right? Like there's a reason why Lance Armstrong, no matter what he was doping on, was able to climb those French Alps at 100 miles an hour or whatever he was doing. Sorry, I won't do my Ronnie Jackson exaggerations. However fast Lance Armstrong was pumping, there's a reason why his body was responsive enough to do that. Things, his cells were responding to stress appropriately, right? Now, the response of how our body interacts with everything constitutes overall health. And that's why it's such a complicated thing and why we need to go to doctors to get to have them explain and help us with problems that we have that might perpetuate through our lives, like, diseases we contract and the ways that our cells, or problems in our genome, essentially, instructing our cells how to act that doesn't work with our surroundings and our environment. And in a lot of ways, that can explain a lot of our health and certainly can explain cancers where cells basically hijack their signals and go crazy and start replicating themselves. Like, now, if you think about what cancer really is, it's a broad term, but in general, if you want to apply what it's doing to your cells, think about if you overdo it on something, if you overdo it on smoking, right? Say you're smoking all the time. You are the Marlboro man, and you tour the world on your horse doing three packs a day, right? Why do you develop lung cancer? Well, what happens is you keep exposing your lungs to harsh chemicals that are causing them to react and oftentimes giving them signals to die off because there's some type of poison that's coming in with the smoke, essentially, that's hijacking the ability cell to react properly in that area of the body. And it hijacks it, kills it off, and then you have to replicate more, and you get a signal that goes in and says, hey, brain, hey, body, hey, nervous system, hey, send some signals to give us some more tools and building blocks that we need to create these cells within our lungs that are going to help cleanse the lungs and move and extract oxygen and move carbon, whatever, dioxide out, or, whatever is supposed to happen down there. Let's make sure that we're getting the right number of cells there so we can maintain a healthy body. And your body does that. And as you're young, your body really knows how to do that and does it and recovers well. That's why you can go out for a night of drinking in college and it's neither here nor there 20 years from now. But persistent drinking over 20 or 30 years makes the cells in the liver die off and eventually not replicate anymore and distort their function, or they overgrow and then you end up with liver cells everywhere. Or mutated cells from the lung everywhere. And the reason why lung cancer is such a killer is when you develop these cancers in the lungs are there to extract the oxygen from your breath and then and put it into your blood. So all of a sudden, if you're having a mutated cell that is being replicated in that area of the body, it's going to be bringing in And spreading itself and metastasizing much faster because it's getting into the bloodstream that quicker and then starting to spread everywhere. And then as it goes through your blood, just pricking itself and sticking to different parts of the body and then growing itself there. And you have foreign bodies everywhere. Now, okay, it's a scary situation when you think about cancer. But here's what's nuts and what's crazy about 21st century medicine, advancements in computing, robotics, DNR, I believe it's called a... GNR, which is genomics, nano, robotics. So there's three things going on at once. They're all of a sudden changing the game when it comes to personalized healthcare. Because when you think of the body as an enormously complex machine that is too difficult in its complexity and relationships for the human brain to fully grasp in one mosaic so we could ever really understand what everything in the human body is doing at one time. We could never really do that. Our brains are not capable of understanding everything that they're doing and monitoring subconsciously, which is so funny. But a computer, a high-end computer, supercomputer with advanced algorithmic software that we have been programming ourselves and also having robots programming its own software, because robots will be better at programming software in the future too. When you have all this going on, all of a sudden, you can do weird things like take someone's genome in an area where they have a cancer, right? And get the cancer string genome, right? Related to whatever the cancer cell has. And you can find out that this cancer cell genome has got, you know, on some of its string of its base pairs of DNA, right? Adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine, four main ones. Right? Yeah. A and T. That there's a bunch of A's and T's or whatever that are creating some protein. Sorry, a lot of rain here. Some protein in this cancer that has a certain shape. And then what you can do is you can throw this certain shape that you've identified in this genome of this cancer into a database of kind of like a Lego building block database or something, like a Lincoln Logs database. No, like Legos is better. Imagine there's a website, which I'm sure there is, that has all the different size Lego pieces that there are. And you could have different designs that people had saved on this Lego website. Well, there's the same idea for different proteins that are formed out of the genome of all living organisms, and viruses and bacteria and everything else. And so, we're windy and rainy. I hope this doesn't suck. Wow. What we're able to do now, this is what happens when I don't talk about politics, I get rained on. Jesus. I need to go in somewhere. Hold on a second. I'm going to try. Only my legs are getting wet. I got a nice umbrella. Running. I'm going to run under some cover. Hold on. Oh, McCabe. Ah. Nice. It's a guy trying to get out of a car, and man, that sucks. Yeah, he's like, I'm not even doing it. He's like, I give up. It's starting to really pour. Okay. Where was I? We're talking about proteins. So here's the thing that I believe the way that the medical community and the way we treat people in disease needs to... Boy, there's like nowhere to go. Wow. Oh my god. Hold on. How about this? Everywhere is bad. It's these like Spanish architecture buildings that they have down here, Florida. They're open and there's just enough space so I can be out of the rain, but I can't really be like hoarding off somewhere where it's not gonna be loud. Alright. Anyway. Okay. So because we can kind of keep databases of really complex things like strings of genome sequence that are generating proteins, enzymes, or different types of things that the human body and cells use as directionals as they do different things, because we're going to be able to truly understand the thousands or millions of these and the interactions that they have, we'll be able to develop mathematical remedies to these types of things to target those specific cells and kill them off. Because every shape has its weakness, essentially. Every shape has its weak spot. And the ability to do that is kind of there now, but it's not fully streamlined. Like, we all just don't go in somewhere every day and get our genome done to see if we've got anything going on. Be like, oh, damn, did I just pick up, like, some random salmonella from some lettuce I didn't know about? And is it on my hands right now? Oh, crap. Like, there's a lot of weird things we could start to know about ourselves. And our environment also, which is going to lead to a whole new industry of cleaning up your environment. Cleaning up your neighborhood is going to take on a whole new name when you know everything that's in it. Well, everyone's going to get really pissed at Scott Pruitt's EPA. I won't talk politics, but you will get really upset when you see what relaxing environmental dumping regulations actually does to the water around you. And we will not stand for it when we actually know what we're touching and drinking and everything else. Now, okay, so in terms of handling medical care and attacking things like cancers and diseases and things we never thought we'd be able to attack. So imagine a decade down the line where the computing power is streamlined everywhere. I mean, you hear about things like medical records. Just a story about Jared Kushner and medical records today. I don't know why he's still in government, but I'm not going to talk about politics on this podcast. But anyway, about medical records. There should be, oh man, it's freaky, it's 1984-ish, but it kind of should be like this. There should be kind of like a 1984-style genomic database, the same way there's like an airline records passenger database. There should be kind of like the same thing as that. And I'll tell you why. It's protected information. Your genome should be protected. For example, if everyone's genomes were public, like imagine there was a searchable public genome database where you could go up and look up your own, or if you had someone else's, you know, social security and PIN number, or you hacked in or something like that, you'd be able to get anybody else's that was in the database, which could be, say, every American, right? You could do things like test to see if people who are father and daughter, father and mother, mother and good daughter, people that say they're family members, whether or not their genomes confirm that they are actual blood family members or not. Like, you'd be able to do paternity tests on everybody. There'd be these crazy privacy things that we really shouldn't handle, but think about the benefits of having a public genome database. Would be, there's no more like wondering if someone is allergic to peanuts. Like, you know, like, when someone would get on a plane, there'd be little things that would light up in the cockpit saying, all right, seat 17C is allergic to peanuts, seat 14C has pneumonia. Like, all kinds of weird stuff would be happening. I see it as a potential future, and it's just one to speculate about, because I think we're going to need to do weird things like protect against pandemic outbreaks, and you're going to see a future of potentially weaponized biological warfare that is much more difficult to protect against, and something that we haven't had to protect against in the past in this form. There's a lot of things where you want to be on the vanguard of adopting and originating the technology to use it for good, and also figure out ways to protect it from the evil. So it's something we should talk about. So this is why I went this direction and wanted to go this way. The podcast was, why don't we all have our genomes done on a molecular scale? There's two different types of genome tests I'm aware of. One's like the old one that 23andMe used to do, which was kind of a broad one that is a more of a color-coded one and not the molecular one. You want the molecular one. The molecular one is the one that has all the different base pairs of DNA, the A's and T's and C's and G's, and sometimes you, I think there's like uracil in there or something, and iodine, it's like, there's other ones that pop out of there in RNA. Anyway, but a DNA molecular sequence is what you want. And we should all have it. I was going to get mine done, and I never did. And I think they're $1,000 now. They should be $100. And I'm going to find out a way to get them down to $100. And how long that's going to take. That'll be my goal, is how do you get a molecular genome sequence done for $100? $99.99. that seems like something that should be done, because I believe it's just getting a swab and running something with a whole lot of like 3.2 billion base pairs. And I don't know exactly how they do that, so that'll be the research for the day, because I said I wasn't gonna do politics. What I will do is mention one personal, one Facebook discussion for the last 2 minutes here while we walk and get a talking as the rain slows down. So I'm a troll crusher. I'm pretty good at taking down trolls online. And I enjoy it because it's an easy battle to win. You just have to be assertive and resourceful. All right, now here's the deal. So there's a guy from high school that I don't really know very well. I'm trying to think back of what I really knew about him. I think we played baseball together, and I'm kind of thinking maybe he was a dick, even back in high school. I don't know. He's definitely a troll on Facebook. And he's trolling my posts. And I got him because, you know, you can't support what he's supporting without lying to yourself and everybody else. So anyway, he's a troll, and I had enough of playing games now, because I worry about the new FCC rules they're trying to put into effect. Like, they're trying to be able to monitor your internet. And when I say monitor, I mean, if they don't want you to get KenBergman.com, they'll block me and nobody will even know it. They'll tell you that my site was down because of my fault. Like, there's a lot of things you're gonna be able to do with this new FCC rule, which goes into effect next month. And nobody wants it. And I was trying to think, I was like, why do we have this law? Everybody hates it. Certain states are already saying they won't abide by it. Why do we want to give over all the power to all the telecommunication companies to sell all our stuff and to share it and to have no privacy? Like, why do we want that as people? Why would we have the government mandate that? And the answer is for control. Who gets control? And the telecommunication companies or the private sector gets control here. And the government also, I think, gets some weird control as well. And so the only reason that you would do that is for control. And it's about Trump trying to control. Because trolls and Trump will have to lie to you in order to stay in power. Because the truth is their enemy. It is. You know, like when you're fucking someone in the ass, the truth is your ass hurting. And if you are on morphine, you don't complain. If you're asleep, maybe you don't complain. Or you're beaten to senseless, you don't complain. And there are certain people in the world that do that to others. And it's up to us to find them and to lock them up. And so because we're at a pivotal point right now where we're going to be locking up a president, and we should. People that continue to deny the truth and their ass hurting, like Derek, I appreciate that he doesn't back down, but here's the thing about being a troll online. There's a weakness to it, which is it's not honest, right? It's not genuine. It's you being a freaking troll trying to just get a rise because you're sitting at work all day doing nothing and being bored and want a rise out of something and unhappy with life. So you lash out. The enemy of the troll is the truth also. And also its lack of anonymity. And I'm going to be in Virginia next week. And I'm going to call him or message him. And we will meet somewhere. And if he doesn't want to meet with me, I'll schedule an appointment with him. You know, like I will see him. Like, I don't think it's right that you should be able to abuse someone online, and then when explicitly requested to address that abuse in person, you run away and run scared and say, I can't do that. Well, now he hasn't said that yet. He hasn't responded yet. I think he's a bit flummoxed, actually. He doesn't realize that I won't stand for his bullshit. He's never really been stood up to, I think, by someone. This is the thing about, I wanted to make this podcast call, I wanted to call it The Battle of Empathy, and here's why. Okay, one of the problems we have is a lack of empathy in the White House right now. Someone who doesn't know how to empathize with other human beings, making decisions about other people. Some people in their brain simply do not have a high empathetic rhythm going on. Don't accept the views of others. They're only living in their own world. And they really need clarity in order to make decisions. They need to visually see things. They need to explicitly be told things. They need to understand the truth from somebody who gives it to them in an authoritative manner, which is why a lot of times they listen to Trump, because Trump lies to your face, but he does it with such gravitas that if you're an idiot, you believe it, right? And even if you're not an idiot, if you're just not paying attention, you allow yourself to believe it because he says it with such diction. Now, given that's what's going on, and it cannot stand any longer. We cannot allow a felon to sit in the White House taking money from the Russians and just trying to destroy our country with Russian money because he's poor. This is the other thing, is Trump is poor. He does not have any money. He's in massive debt. So one thing that Derek said is, oh, this guy's so rich, who cares about what? He's not rich. He's in massive debt. Massive debt. We'll get that straight. And when I prove to you that he's in massive debt, you can't like come out and deny that truth and then just be a troll anymore. Like, that's not acceptable, which is kind of what has already happened, which is why I want an apology from him. So when I see him in person, we're going to record a podcast together, and I'm going to explain this to his face. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you that I'm right. And so whatever happens, I'm not going to look bad. And hopefully I'll be able to convince him of something, or he will at least learn that you cannot defend things that are indefensible. And if you're going to stick by this felon, then you should go down with him. You should go to jail. You should be tried as a co-conspirator, actually. If you think it's okay for the Russians to pay off the president and to destroy our country, and you support that, then you are a co-conspirator with the Russians, even if you're an unwitting one, which is really what Derek would be. He's an unwitting co-conspirator. He has no idea what's going on, and he's supporting treason, basically, right? So when I sit down and explain that to him, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to allow him to shit all over my wall and have no repercussions. I'm going to stand up to him and I'm going to set him straight, because we can't allow people to push their own set of facts. I mean, the quotes that I've seen recently are, you know, people are entitled to their own opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. You cannot just respond to, oh, the president is taking money from the Russians, you owe me an apology. You can't respond to that question with, oh, the Clintons have been doing this with Uranium One. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, you little bitch. That's why I started to turn into a child at him, because that's the only language he understands. And he doesn't usually get that from an empathetic individual. Here's the thing. This is why I want to go back to the battle of empathy. People that don't have the empathetic structure, like Derek, fight like children, right? And unless you give them Indian burns or fucking wet willies, they don't hear you, right? Or you have to put them in jail, actually. That's the only other way. But now, I'm not advocating putting Derek in jail, obviously. However, if he's going to be a witting co-conspirator with the Russians, if he's like, no, yeah, if he says to me, yeah, Ken, listen, I've hated American government for as long as I know. They haven't done shit for me. I pay too much in taxes. I would like Putin to be my overlord. I do support Russian money. Here, they pay me. Like, I sell homes to Russians, Ken. Like, that's how I make my business, all right? Sorry. Like, that's what really this is about. I'm sorry, man, but like, okay, just leave me alone. If that's what he says, then yeah, he should go to jail. If that's really why he's doing this. I don't think that's why he's doing this. I think he's just a moron. And he just needs to be straightened out. And I'm not going to let him push me around online or in person. I'm going to tell him how it is. And we'll see what happens. So Ken Braverman is out.